ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So before we get into the meat of this discussion, I'll just say a few other things. If you want to know what I mean by saying the meat, it's an English way of saying the essence. There you go. Just giving you some insights into the kind of culture that goes with English language. The meat means the essence, the substance. It's another meaning of the word meat. In other words, their idea of the meat is the essence of the meal. There's no meal without meat. Just like in Bengali, they say for food, they say bhat. Apni ki bhat khayachen. Did you eat your rice? Because there's no meal without rice. So in English language, it's meat. However, I do remember seeing in Bangladesh about 15 years ago or something, somehow or other a newspaper from England had got there, and there was an article about how the British eating culture after centuries is radically changing. And although the British used to pride themselves on being beef eaters, that was the sign of a real Englishman, beef eater. The guards at the Tower of London, they're called beef eaters. So it's noted how the eating culture is radically changing, and in Britain, the number of vegetarians is significant, and it's been increasing there more than in any other country for many years now. So much so that in the Western countries, there are many vegetarian restaurants. Well, it depends where you are. Not in Italy or France. Be hard-pressed to find a vegetarian restaurant in the whole of the country. Maybe catering for foreign visitors, not for the local people. So they were noting how people are becoming vegetarians. About 15 years ago, one of our devotees in England, she attended a vegetarian meeting. It was like a national vegetarian meeting. She wasn't scheduled to speak. She was there in a sari, and they called her up to speak. And they said, and the person who was organizing it said, "It's you people who started all this off. You were the first ones who are going out. You weren't actually promoting vegetarianism per se, but it was a noted part of the Hare Krishna lifestyle. People thought we were crazy for dancing in the streets, having shaved heads, wearing funny clothes, and being vegetarians. That's one of the things they thought we were crazy for. So, anyway, before I get into the meat of this discussion, that's why it's better to speak in Indian languages. A few points here. First of all, thank you very much to all of those who are still here for coming here. I'm making this a festival. There's no festival without people. Nowadays you could have a hologram festival or a virtual festival, but there's no rasa in it. Rasa means there have to be people. You can have a cartoon festival, but there's no rasa in between the imaginary characters. There's only imaginary rasa. There's like novels and cartoon stories. There's imaginary rasa. But the actual rasa can be experienced by the people who watch it, although it's not really rasa. It's a perverted reflection of a perverted reflection. In this material world, the rasa is a perverted reflection. And when you make cartoons or novels, then it becomes a perverted reflection of a perverted reflection. So thank you all for coming. Thank you to everyone who did all the different services, such as organizing, this time Hare Krishna Prabhu is doing the main organizing, the prasad and sound system was organized by ISKCON Salem. The real heroes are not seen. They're in the back there somewhere with spoons, not ordinary spoons, very big spoons. Thank you to the devotees of ISKCON Trivandrum Temple and Congregation for participating. Thank you for the Kirtaniyas, especially. There's no Hare Krishna festival without lots of chanting of Hare Krishna. And sign of a good festival is that someone has to come and stop the Kirtaniyas. Maybe you have to stop me speaking also, because devotees have to be initiated and leave. Some of them have to leave very quickly. They have train bookings. So thank you to all. There are so many things. Rangoli has now become a standard part of festivals in many centers of ISKCON, at least in India, and on and on. For the next yatra, which we have together, Krishna willing, supposed to be in Nasik sometime the end of April or the beginning of May. Nasik is where Shurpanakha lost her nose, her Nasika. So that's a holy place. There are other things about it also. So everything organized in advance, please. That means the first morning, Mangalati. There may be excuses, but it's better not to have excuses. Please have everything. Whoever's organizing overall, please see everything's there, in place. And get a better conch for blowing. The present conch we have, if you can blow it at all, it doesn't say, Shankha Bhaje, Ghanta Bhaje, Madhur, Madhur, Madhur. It's not Madhur. It's not sweet. It sounds like someone with indigestion. Anyway, I don't say, because it's Shankha is already sacred, but this one doesn't sound so sweet. At some points of pronunciation, I have a plan for Jainityananda Prabhu when he gets out of his, when he's finished his school, he can go around and correct everyone's pronunciation, including mine probably. As we are singing the same songs every day, we might as well learn how to sing them properly. So if we say, Vilas Kunja Diyo Vas, that means we stopped singing a song to Tulsi Devi and we're directly saying to Vilas Kunja. Vilas Kunja, whoever that may be, give me a residence. Should be Vilas Kunji. We're praying to Tulasi Maharani, give me residence within Vilas Kunja. So it seems everyone here is singing Vilas Kunja, but it should be Vilas Kunji. Another one within the Tulsi or Tulasi Parikrama is very commonly sung Yani Kani Cha Papani, but obviously it should be Papani, right? We're all committing paps, not pops. So, you're not committing pop. Maybe that's why you're not committing any pops, so you're just making pops. But it should be Papani. Many programs are going on, new programs, we're expanding very quickly, too quickly, in as much as we don't have enough manpower for all the programs going on. If anyone's interested to join Padyatra, or in Andhra Pradesh. There's a padyatra going on with two men, which is really not enough. So anyone wants to join, fed up of the cold winter in North India, you can go to the nice heat in Andhra Pradesh. Guaranteed heat. And a lot of service to do, a lot of nectar, many eager people in the villages waiting to chant Hare Krishna and be saved from becoming beef eaters by the benevolent Christians who are going around and trying to convert everyone. So if you want to join, you can please see Vishnu Swami Prabhu, who's probably here somewhere. He's at the back with his, look, turn around 180 degrees and put your hands in the air again. He's standing there next to his Padayatra Pradarshini. So you can join him and have lots of transcendental fun in Telangana, which is still part of Andhra Pradesh officially. So we just sung the song that Lochandash Thakur has kindly given us, being inspired by the master of Saraswati, Sri Gaurasunda. Saraswati has manifested in his heart, on his tongue, in his pen, and he has glorified Parama Karunamai Sri Nityananda Gauranga. Parama Karuna, Parhum Duijana. These two masters, Nitai and Gaurachandra, they are the most merciful avatars. And he gives evidence for that, not just some dogmatic statement, but, well, the whole song, well, the first three verses are evidence that. Because the path that they give, the path of God realization, is simply joyful. Simply joyful. There are other avatars, such as Kalki avatar. That's all. He's also very blissful. All the avatars are very blissful. But that bliss of killing all the mlechas, it's not joyful for the mlechas, whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is joyful for the mlechas also. That he lifts them up from the demoniac position and engages them in Harinama Sankirtan. Golokera Prema Dhan Harinama Sankirtan. The wealth of Golok is Prem, Krishna Prem, pure love of Krishna, which is manifested in this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Prema Sankirtan. So his path is simply joyful. He doesn't ask us to perform any austerities like Naranarayan. Their path is very austere. It's not possible for us to do in the modern age. Even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke, and ever since, almost everyone's been speculating on it, misinterpreting it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's path is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna. Along with chanting, there are some considerations. Bhaja bhaja bhai, Chaitanya nita. Certainly we should worship them. They've come as devotees, but they should be worshipped as the Supreme Lord. Bhaja bhaja bhai, Chaitanya nitai, sudhira vishasakura. Worship them with faith, that is such faith that it cannot be broken. It's Sudhirabhishas, very strong faith, means such faith is not based exactly on mental adjustment or on not even on philosophical deliberation. Of course, philosophical deliberation must be there, but the kind of faith that Lochan Das is calling for means the natural simple faith, just like a child for the mother, presuming the mother loves the child, which is not always the case, especially in the modern age. But the natural faith, the child doesn't have to go to school to learn that you should trust your mother. The young child before school age, they naturally have faith. They don't even speak. Their thinking processes are not formulated, but they have intimate trust in the parent. So this kind of faith one should have, and giving up sense gratification, giving up, just leaving it aside, sense gratification, then one can become absorbed in the rasa, Hari Bhakti rasa. And that chanting, this the chanting of the holy names that Chaitanya and Nitai have given, that chanting is not the chanting that is mixed with offenses, mixed with personal desires, mixed with speculative philosophy. The chanting of Chaitanya and Nitai is, and the chanting that they have come to give us, that chanting is the chanting of the soul in the constitutional position of pure love of Krishna. Dekho re bhai tribhuvane nai emana doyala data. So he says, Lochan Das says, just look and see, look for yourself and see. Within all the three worlds, there is no such bestower of mercy. If you look throughout all the three worlds, you'll find there's Brahma, Indra, Chandra, and even among the demonically inclined people, there may be very charitable people also. Karna, he was known as Datta Karna, he was very charitable. Virochana, king of the demons, prided himself on being charitable. So much so that when Indra came in the form of a Brahmin, Virochana was very happy to get the opportunity to offer charity. So what do you want? Anything you want, I'll give you. Give me your head. So he cut it off and gave it. I don't know how he gave it. I guess just before he fell down dead, he gave his head. So very many charitable people. Virochana was willing to, that means to give up his position, give up his very life. What could be more charitable than that? Well, more charitable is to give you life, to give us, we're all dead, in our walking dead position, we are imagining I am Indra, or I am the king of the demons, or I am a worm in stool, whatever position we have got. So our position is acetanyam idam vishvam. We are in an unconscious position in this world. It's dreaming position. We think that we're doing so many things. We're unconscious. We're acetanya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives himself to us and gives us coming to life by chanting Hare Krishna. So who can be more merciful? And the evidence that Lochan Das gives is simply by hearing his glories, the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, the animals and birds cry and the stone melts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was exhibiting in this world that which is unimaginable even in Vaikuntha, that the topmost pinnacle of love of Krishna. We hear the descriptions how in Vrindavan, when Krishna plays his flute, it destroys all dharma. The women, their clothes become loose, so their dharma of chastity is spoiled. The water of the Yamuna, which is flowing, becomes like stone, so the dharma of water is to be liquid, but that's also changed, and the rocks which are solid become liquid. There's no such thing as liquid rock, but Krishna's flute forcibly changes and demonstrates the principle that the only real dharma of every entity is to be enchanted by Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he chants Hare Krishna, then the tigers whose dharma, their inherent nature, being born in that body, is to be hingsra, means they have a nature of being violent and nasty. That's why they have big claws and fearsome teeth, so that that demonstrates their in that body is meant for violence, merciless. The tiger doesn't think, as I'm jumping on this deer, that the deer itself will be not happy, and the deer's relatives will also be unhappy. The tiger doesn't think like that. The tiger is by nature pitiless. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting, the tigers and the deer, they chant Hare Krishna together and they dance in ecstasy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he forcibly, or by the power of his prema-saturated chanting, he brings people immediately to the position of sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Lochan Das says that simply, not even by his personal presence, simply by hearing his glories, his qualities, this happens, that the animals and the birds, they cry, the stone melts. So my conjecture, allow me, if you will, speculation, you may call it, is that Lochan Das himself, being such a great pure devotee, when he glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he has done in Chaitanya Mangal, it's the whole work is like Uchvasa Kirtan, overflowing with ecstatic, blissful love. It's written in that mood, just like this Chaitanya Chandramrita, same mood, that's written in such a way that anyone who hears it with a little faith, their heart will be inspired by the blissful ecstasy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. He is Prema Murti, the very form of transcendental bliss in love of Krishna. Radha Bhava Bhishta Prabhu Hoilo Shri Murti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least one time, he was absorbed in the blissful feelings of Srimati Radharani, and he took that very form. Another time before, Rai Ramananda, he manifested that he is Radha and Krishna. So, Lochan Das, by his descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, that he's seeing how the animals and birds, they cry in ecstasy. So he's described the animals and birds are coming to listen to him. That's possible, because by the mercy of great devotees, even the animals who are not considered fit for Krishna consciousness, they become awakened to their original dharma, transcending, just as the humans who are not fit for spiritual practice in Kali Yuga, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, he takes them beyond that unfit position and brings them directly to Krishna. So that's possible even for the birds and the beasts. The great pure devotees are doing that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the forest of in Jarikhanda, in the forest of Vrindavan, all the animals would follow. The deer would follow him, the bees, the peacocks. They all recognized, here is our Krishna, come again. So the devotee Rasikananda, yes, he tamed not even an ordinary elephant, but a particularly aggressive elephant, and made him a Vaishnava. So that is possible for great devotees. Srila Prabhupada also went among people who, even though Srila Prabhupada had so many godbrothers who had received of course, godbrother means initiation, direct mercy from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who came to give the same bliss that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Madhurya Jvala Premardhya Shri Rupa Noga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is praised as the giver of Krishna Prem in the line of Rupa Goswami. That means Madhurya Jvala Prem, which it's very difficult to say in English, because English is meant for doing business, not for glorifying Krishna. But Madhurya in the Gaurya Vaishnav context especially means it's the very term suggests exceedingly sweet. If we have something which is too, if we have a sweet which is too sweet, something we have a sweet which is too sweet, even when we're making sweets, we have to know not to put too much sugar. But in the sweetness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives, there's no limit to how sweet, always sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And that is one description. Another description is Ujvala. This is another very important word which we often see in connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which means blazing. So it's another description. The words are trying to describe what is indescribable. So Madhurya Ujvala Prema Dhya Shri Rupa Anoga Bhakti Da Bhakti Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti. The very form, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is the very form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti, potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver that mercy. He is the very form of that. So Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers had direct association with him, with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, with his mercy, his teachings, but all of them put together could not conceive of what Srila Prabhupada actually did. And that's not to in any way denigrate Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, although it might sound like that, but rather it points to the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, just like we say that among all the gopis together cannot satisfy Krishna, only Radha comes. That doesn't mean the gopis are rejected or that they're something bad or that they're not fully Krishna consciousness, fully worshipable. But still, the position of Radharani is very special. So somewhat like that, even though all of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, and none of them before Srila Prabhupada went, could conceive of what he did. And even if anyone was put in the position that Srila Prabhupada was found himself in, it's very difficult to think how we would preach in such a situation. Srila Prabhupada had the idea he would go to the Western world and present this philosophy to the intellectuals, the leaders of society, the cultured people of the West. There are also cultured people in the West, just like it's all relative, of course, but there are cultured people in the West who would appreciate this. But what he found is that it wasn't the cultured people, it was the least cultured people, the people who had been who had themselves rejected mainstream society and who were rejected from and who were deliberately doing everything that should not be done. The hippies, and they took an interest in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada had to deal with them and work with them with no help, no support, not even moral support. No one understood what he was doing in the slightest. They had no idea who is Krishna, what is the chanting of the holy name, how to respect the sadhu, even how to respect an elderly gentleman. Even if they saw him just as an elderly gentleman, it wasn't in their culture to respect such people, to respect anyone. So Srila Prabhupada, he did that. He gave Krishna consciousness to the least likely people. So that's a proof that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is real. Otherwise, how is it possible for people from the Western world to transform? So Lochandas continues, Sangsari Mojaya Rahile Poriya Shepadina Hiloash, taking the position of feeling himself, not taking the position, but actually feeling himself in all humility. He feels himself to be stuck in material existence due to his sinful activities under the direction of Yamaraj, Apana Karma Bhunjesha. So he expresses his sadness at not being able to avail of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now there will be an initiation ceremony after a little time. You have to give me some time. I still have many beads to chant on, so it'll be probably 1.25 to 1.5 hours before I'm ready to start. Those who are leaving after the initiation ceremony and who are getting initiated, they should tell Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu so they can come first. They can come up, get their beads and go out like that. Those have to leave immediately. So, the meaning of initiation. The meaning of initiation is that after many, many births in this material world, we come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. We have the opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, by which we can become free from, not only become free from birth and death, simply getting free from birth and death, that's a great boon, but that's not enough. If you get free from birth and death and you get stuck in the Brahma Jyoti, that's not the aim. The aim is to go far beyond Vaikuntha, up to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. So it's a long journey. And the first positive step is when one says, I commit. In the Christian wedding ceremony, at least in the Catholic one, the priest asks first the husband, I believe, and then the wife, do you agree to accept so-and-so as your wife and to protect her and maintain her in all conditions, in sickness and health, in prosperity and poverty, and on like this, till death do us part. And he's supposed to say, I do. And then you ask the wife, almost wife, is asked the same thing. And she says, I do. So it's a commitment. One makes the commitment to follow whatever happens, even if the Martians invade or the oil runs out or your wife runs out or your husband runs out of the door, never to be seen again. The commitment is there. This is a commitment not up to death, but beyond birth and death. This is a forever commitment, that now our life is meant for Krishna. Now, after trying to enjoy in 8,400,000 species of life, many births in many universes, now I am meant for serving Krishna. That is the commitment. That has to be done through the agency of a guru. Guru means, well, that's a very big topic, but basically it means one who teaches how to serve Krishna. Je Krishna Tatta Guru She Guru Hai. Guru is a teacher, teaches what we need to learn about our relationship with Krishna. There are gurus at various levels. First of all, Sambandha Gyan. The guru is a representative of Madan Mohan. Abhidhaya, how to act in devotional service. The guru is a representative of Govinda in Vrindavan, and who brings us to our actual goal, Prayojan, that is Gopinath. That's Gopinath himself. And at that stage, the guru is just, he'll just give some basic guidance and directions. But this initiation is into the basics, so that we can gradually advance to that topmost level. Gradually means not very gradually. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this very short lifespan that we have in Kali Yuga, even though
We are Prayanal Payusasabhya Kalavas Minyuge Janaha Manda Sumanda Matiyo Manda Bhagyahi Upatutaha. Even though we have a short lifespan, we're unlucky, we're bad natured, and our mind is always disturbed and contaminated. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though we are completely unqualified, we can go back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. We can acquire the qualification. The qualification to go beyond all worldly designations and worldly dharmas and come immediately to our constitutional position. Jivesvarupai Krishna Nityadas. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not in the, this statement is not from the original Vedas. What the Vedas talk in so many ways, so many statements in the Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, so many statements. Vedanta Sutra was later also composed. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has succinctly given that which may be very difficult to find in all the Vedas, that we are all meant, we are, our only actual dharma is to serve Krishna. So Guru teaches that practically and by practice and by precept. We find ourselves with many gurus as we join this movement. I am officially the guru of many of the devotees present here. But practically, most of the devotees here are guided in their day-to-day spiritual advancement and spiritual lives, not by myself. They're guided by senior disciples of mine or by other devotees. The central point of guidance for all of us, including myself, is Shastra, which particularly for us in the modern age means Srila Prabhupada's books. So we can understand how we're supposed to act as a devotee from Srila Prabhupada's books. That doesn't mean that we don't need guidance, that we don't need a guru. Guru means a person to whom we commit and who can correct us. We all need correcting on the way. If we submit ourselves to be corrected, if we're not willing to be corrected, to submit ourselves to be corrected, then we shouldn't submit ourselves to be disciples. At the same time, we have to understand everything in terms of the teachings that we receive from Srila Prabhupada and his books. So there are many great acharyas who have appeared in the world. Here in South India, the names of Sri Ramanujacharya and his main descendants used to be well known, should be better known. Madhvacharya, these are all very great Vaishnavas in our Gauriya line, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have the six Goswamis, Rup Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev Gopala Bhatta, Das Raghunath, and Sarup Damodar Goswami. These are all the eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many great devotees appeared. Nityananda and Advaita, who are directly the personality of Godhead, also appeared with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then gradually the parampara continued and developed. Not all the names are given in the list, otherwise the list would be very long, and we don't even know all the names of the devotees who have initiated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parampara. Many names may be lost also. But the most prominent names have been given there of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam Das, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Laladev Vidya Bhushana, then later Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So these are all Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. What is that? Ihara Paramahamsa. Gaurangir Nijavamsa. They're all the eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in the generation after Srila Prabhupada, the same teaching should be passed on that Srila Prabhupada has received from all the previous acharyas. That teaching should be passed on. And though in this case, my case, I'm certainly not in the category of the great Paramahamsas who are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are free from all lust, greed, anger, envy, any personal motivation, who are directly from the spiritual world. But on Srila Prabhupada's order, I'm also giving initiation. The qualification should be for giving initiation, that one should not be cultivating personal motives, and one should follow strictly, and one should explain the teachings of the parampara as they have been received from Srila Prabhupada. And one can get the same result as when Prabhupada was present, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, if we accept initiation, take this commitment. So this is very briefly the meaning of initiation, what it means to accept a guru. It's a vast topic. I've just touched lightly on one or two of them. So I request you to all become educated in understanding all these topics by reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, repeatedly, carefully, prayerfully, and act on those instructions. That's what I can offer to you. So, Hare Krishna.